All right, here we go. It's time for Supercross Talk, and Cappy's here. Sedano will join us in a minute here. Yeah, you know, I was listening to your show yesterday.
Okay, was there something stupid said?
It was nonstop stupid.
Was it the part and where this... I had to stop at the hotel in Irvine to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, that was stupid.
Wait a minute, did you do your show like from a mobile unit or something?
No, what happened is I was on my way home. I was heading south. This was on Monday night, mm-hmm. and my stomach was growling.
Not cooperating.
Right, yeah. And I had to get off the freeway, and then I had to find a hotel to use the bathroom. And people have now been discussing what is the best place to go to use a public bathroom.
Yes.
And so for me, I tell people all the time, hotel lobby is the best place you can go to.
Good spot, you're right.
Some people tell me that the best place is a department store, but I'm like, then I got to go into a mall, and I got to park, and I got to go into the department store, and I got to ask where the bathroom is. I mean, it's very easy to go into a hotel lobby. Some people say a Starbucks, but a lot of times at a Starbucks, you may need a key or a code.
A code, yeah.
Yeah, a gas station is usually dirty. Hotel's the best place.
Do you have fear of public bathrooms? I think Ireland, you're afraid of public bathrooms, aren't you?
Yeah, I prefer not to use them.
See, I don't care.
Me neither, Mace.
Makes
with
no
you.
Difference to me. Makes none whatsoever. Did you? You know, when I used to drive back and forth between San Diego, and for a while there, I did Monday. I stayed in L.A. through Monday. Went to San Diego for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Came back to L.A. on Friday. So I drove that route a lot mm-hmm. of the time, and yep. a lot of the time I would have a bottle in the car with me,
okay,
and
what
I
kind
wouldn't
of bottle?
Stop at all, like an Aquafina bottle.
Aquafina.
And I would not stop at all.
Aquafina, you can't pee in an Aquafina bottle
yes,
while you're
can.
Driving.
You absolutely can. It can be done.
No, see, Mace, if you would have got the Waiakea, the Hawaiian volcanic water that I
yes.
drink, big mouth openings to make your
right.
job
well,
a little easier.
Well, Aquafina has a big mouth opening.
Oh, I didn't
why?
Know that.
Okay.
Yeah, big mouth. Right. I mean, I couldn't, Dasani.
Stop.
I mean, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, I'm seeing like this tiny little thing, Really?
Yeah.
So that's how you do it, huh? You drive and you pee at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. No reason to stop.
No, I'm with that all day long. This was not number one. This was number two.
Yeah, sure. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You got anything on that? You got
no.
ideas
no,
on
no,
that?
Then you gotta get the car and pull it right out. Yeah, get into that hotel and do your business.
Right. You know that the hotel I pulled into, they had a security arm like for parking. There was no parking at the front, like, hey, 10-minute check-in kind of thing. Nothing like mm-hmm. that.
Right.
And I pull in. I'm like, oh, my God, now I got to get into the parking lot. First 30 minutes free. After the first 30 minutes, it starts with $26 per half hour.
Whoa.
Did you get in and out within 30 minutes?
27 minutes and 30 seconds, John Ireland.
That a boy.
27 minutes and 30 seconds.
Well done.
On the dot.
Hotels are such a ripoff. I mean, you pay the hotel room, then you got a resort fee, then you got parking. It's like, it's such a scam. Hotels are a total scam.
Well, it's kind of like I was the other day, I flew on Spirit Airlines.
Oh, my God. That is like, you're like.
You voluntarily flew on Spirit Airlines?
There was really just no other flights that could get me to where I wanted to go at the time. Now, I will say this. When I tell you that I was supposed to land at LA at 11:06, mm-hmm. I looked at my watch. We landed at 11:06 on the dot. So I have nothing bad to say about Spirit Airlines with regards to being on time. Now, I will say this.
How is the service?
I don't know. I slept both legs of the flight.
Okay.
But here's what I'll tell you. I walk up to the front. I'm about to go onto the plane. I have my backpack, and I have a rolly bag. And they said, you have to pay for the bag. And I'm like,
oh, that's a ripoff.
Wait a second. How much for a carry-on?
$30.
$50.
Okay. This is like Game of Games. Jorge?
$25.
Okay, very good. Bergie?
$45.
You guys are not going to believe this.
What?
$100.
Oh. To bring a carry-on on the plane?
And I said to the lady, I said,
what if you're
going to
put it under your seat?
It doesn't matter. Just to bring on a second bag. And I had my wheelie bag and my backpack on top of my wheelie bag. So she could see that I had two bags. So I said, wait, $100? And she's like, yeah, sorry. And I'm like, but wait a second. When I was downstairs and I was checking in at an agent, they said, do you have any thing that you want to check? I said, no. At no point does anybody say to me, okay, well, then because you have two bags, you're going to have to pay for one. I said, would it have been less expensive downstairs? Yes. And it would have been less expensive had you done it online in advance. Didn't know. $100 to get on the plane.
That's a bait and switch.
That is a rip-off.
And I'm assuming they had overhead compartments, right?
They did indeed. Plenty of space. No problem.
Wow. That's very odd. Well, that's how Spirit then gets their money back. They discount the price of the airfare and then
everything.
Hitch up everywhere else.
That's the whole point. So, Mace, when you talk about hotels, and first it's like, ooh, I've got a room for $100 a night. And then you get there and they hit you with this fee and that fee and taxes for this, and then they hit you with parking. And all of a sudden you're like, my $100 hotel room turned into $250. I should have stayed at the nicer place where they don't charge you for this and this and this.
There you go.
I know. So Spirit, I was really bummed out. So on the second leg of the flight, because I got to Vegas and I had to then come to L.A., on the second leg, I carried my backpack over my shoulder, like on my shoulders, and then I had my rolly bag, and that nobody stopped me. Nobody said, hey, you got to pay for it, because instead of having two bags, I really only was carrying one bag. The other one was on my shoulders. So my dumbass.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody's pulling a fast one there. Hey, Cap, you were just hanging out with the Cleveland Browns. They play again tonight at home against Pittsburgh. Do they win?
I think they do. As bad as it was, and it was a really, really bad loss against Joe Flacco and the Jets, there's no time to, like, sit around and whine about it. And the Steelers lost at home to New England. And so do you guys realize that, like, these guys play on Sunday?
Yep.
There's no practice this week at all. When my buddy who's the
offensive
coordinator. They
get Monday off.
Right. My buddy who's the offensive coordinator of the Browns, when he dropped me off at the airport on Monday morning at 5:30 a.m., he had his car packed with his pillows and his blankets. I said, what are you doing? He goes, I won't go home all week. I said, what are you going to go to a hotel like right next to the facility? He said, no, I'm going to sleep in my office all week. Mm. So there's really no practice other than like a short, maybe like walkthrough, I think, yesterday. And the coaches have to game plan the week before because they've got this Thursday game. So I think the advantage goes to the home team. So, and I'm also very, at this point, emotionally invested in the
Cleveland
Browns.
They're both really bad teams, though.
Well, they don't have quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, come on.
Jacoby
Small Hands Kenny. Small Hands Kenny in there.
I think I would rather have Jacoby Brissett than Mitch Trubisky.
Small Hands.
Yeah, I'd rather be the Browns than the Steelers because you have Jacoby Brissett and you have Deshaun Watson coming down the pike.
But he's not there till
Week 11.
Week 11 or 12, yeah.
Yeah.
See, if I were the Steelers, and I don't really think I'm a Super Bowl contender this year, what am I wasting time with Mitch Trubisky for? Have him be a backup.
Yep.
Have him be an insurance policy. You drafted a kid in the first round who in the preseason really had a nice – I mean, he really
was unbelievable.
Great, right.
Yeah.
So why not just play this kid?
Yeah, you're going nowhere. Why not play the kid? Even though he's got small hands. Small Hands Kenny.
Is that why he wears gloves?
Isn't that weird, though? I mean, we knew from – we call him Small Hands Kenny because, you know, they measured his hands and he had small hands. At the combine. And
idiot.
Now look, does hand size even matter?
I mean, come on. The guy had a really great decorated college career, and he had this great preseason. I'm not saying to you that he's going to the Hall of Fame, but – I mean, can he not grip the ball? Is that what you're telling me? Is that why he wears these gloves?
I don't know. You're an NFL guy. They do this combine with all this stupid stuff, like jump up and hit that thing and then run the shuttle race. And,
right. Hey,
and,
run over
and
there.
And now measure
their
hands. It's like none of these things matter. That's the thing that that I believe. None of these things matter. What matters is what's on that tape from your college career. And what matters is the way you play once you get there. I don't care about all the measurables. It's the intangibles that make a great quarterback.
Ah. Hey, Mace.
Hey, Mace.
Hey, we're getting a lot of reaction to Cappy's story about pulling over to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so here we go. Brendan Craig. In-N-Out is the place to go. Open late, decent bathrooms, it's the spot. Mm. Beto and Whittier says, park bathroom in a pinch. Find a park.
Mm-hmm.
Hotels are not scams, Mason. You don't get reward points on Airbnb, and I get points and comps from Marriott Bonvoy.
Right, but you're at the same time, you're paying a resort fee. It's like, okay, so if you go online and you get a room right now, it'll give you a price. Then once you get there, they'll say, oh, yeah, there's a
They'll nickel and dime you, yeah.
And then they'll say, oh, and by the way, there's no parking, so it's going to cost you X amount to park. It's like it is a total scam. Once they get you in, they can get anything from you.
John Ireland, here's another one from Aaron Gomes, who says, as a home health clinician, grocery stores are pound for pound the best public bathrooms to use. Yeah, grocery stores are good, but again, I was on the freeway, and I got off right at John Wayne Airport, and I turned right, and the closest thing was all these hotels. And I'm just a big believer that hotel lobbies are the best place because I think they have the cleanest bathrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
But a grocery store is okay.
Is Sedano just taking the day off? Does he not believe in super? Has he lost faith in super crosstalk?
Hey, no, I did not lose faith.
Oh, just, there he is.
Damn thing to work for some reason.
What was this?
Thanks,
what was,
man.
What was
you're having Cumrex issues?
Yeah, I had to. I reached. It wouldn't like actually show me the screen with the different like Cumrex channels or whatever.
Yeah. So I was. I told this story earlier, George, and you'll appreciate this. You know, if I could pick any job in the world in sports and be that guy, for some reason, I've always wanted to be a baseball closer. I think baseball closer is a really good job.
It is so high leverage.
I've got this little Fredo ball. My dog has this little ball toy kind of thing. And I put blue tape on the wall in front of me. And I've been throwing strikes all day long, just throwing strikes as if I was a closer.
Okay. Now, are you good in, like, emergency high-leverage type situations?
Yeah, I'm kind of like Evan. I'm like the Evan Phillips of any pitching.
Okay, now let me ask Ireland that question since he's worked with you for 20 years. Ireland, do you believe that Mason is good when everything is going haywire?
No.
Total garbage, by the way.
Yeah. Total garbage. But, Mace, I think you left out a job that's better than closer.
Okay, what is it?
A job in sports that's better than closer.
What's that? Pinch, the voice of the Lakers?
No, pinch hitter. Think about it. Nobody really expects you to get a hit.
Great point.
And you make the major league minimum, which now is like $1 million. If you get a hit, everyone's like shockingly surprised.
Yeah.
And you maybe play, I don't know, twice a week.
Yeah.
And like Manny Mota had the greatest job ever because it's not like they put him in as a late inning defensive replacement. I don't even think he had a glove. They just brought him in to hit. And if he got a hit or got on base, he was a hero. And if he didn't, everybody said, well, you know, you can't sit on a bench for 2.5 hours and then come in cold and expect him to get a hit. He'll, you know, blah, blah, blah. Pinch hitter's the best job in all of sports, I think. Cap,
well,
do
that's,
you?
If you but nobody talks about the pinch hitter afterwards.
Nobody's like, oh, if he gets a hit, they do.
Yeah, they do. But the closer, he comes out every game and you play a really cool piece of music.
Yeah, but if you're like Craig Kimbrell and you bomb half the time, then everyone hates you.
Whoa! Did you see this picture in the Sedano and Cap circle of trust of you, Mason?
Go,
this is a young Steve Mason here.
Is there
really
a
good picture?
It's an upper deck. You're in like Chargers gear,
Mace. It's the old school 690 pick.
Yeah, the Big Show. Who is the Big Show?
That was Mason and I.
Oh, it was called the Big Show?
It was called the Big
Show.
Well,
BS, we called it for, you know.
that's a good picture.
No,
man,
I think he was trying to send that out the other day, George, when he was trying to drum up votes as being more handsome than me.
Right, which you won in an overwhelming fashion.
In a landslide, yes. Yeah. But with his Twitter followers. Mason, the other picture you sent out, which I thought would get you some votes, was your kind of poser SteveMason.com picture. You remember that one?
Yeah, that was my
You look like you're a Good Morning America host in that shot.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Mace, this 690 picture back in the day, what year do you think this is? Late
90s? 1994?
94, 95.
Oh, this is like when the Chargers were like really good back then in the 90s.
Yeah,
94 was the year the Chargers went to the Super Bowl.
Right, Stan Humphries.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good picture, though, the SteveMason.com. But there are acting pictures out there that are funnier. I had some manager who was, like, trying to get me all posy. I'm just not a posy
person. Don't you feel like you might want to have your hair dark like that again, or are you completely satisfied and happy with the whitish-grayish hair?
Completely satisfied. This is what you get. Now, I did dye my eyebrows.
Cappy, you dye your hair, right?
I do.
Yeah.
Why? Although recently... I have been getting the whole, you know, the salt and pepper looks better kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I've kind of let it go a little bit. I haven't had it colored in quite some time. Mm-hmm. Last time that happened, we got a bottle of Just for Men, and I think we got the wrong color, and my hair was kind of like orange.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that happened to Colin. He
it's a Cowherd. Yeah, definitely.
When
did.
He first started his TV show, his hair was going gray, and he tried to dye it. brown and it came out purple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looked like the Texas Longhorns mascot. Like,
yeah,
basically, like
it was like goofy. Like, yeah. Hey, yeah. Cap, listen to this. Somebody just texted. Spirit Airlines charged me $10 for a host to check me in versus free check-in at the kiosk.
No way.
So in other words, that's insane. So in other words, if he would have checked in at the kiosk, it was free. But he walked 5 feet to the right and had them check him in, and they charged him $10.
It's so funny because I went to their app, and I tried to check in on the app so I could get the electronic ticket on my phone. Couldn't do it. Tried to use their website. Couldn't do it. Thought my flight got canceled, so I got to the airport like an hour and a half early. And when I got to the desk, I said, hi, I've been trying to check in. I haven't been able to do it. And the guy said, well, where are you going? I said, Los Angeles. He said, well, that's because you're late. And I said, wasn't the flight at 6:45 a.m.? It's 5 a.m. He's like, oh, you're going to Las Vegas and then you're going to L.A. I mean, it was like one of those old places they used to have, Dick's Last Resort, where the waiters and waitresses are like intentionally angry with you, and it's supposed to be funny.
They got attitude.
Right. The Spirit Airlines people who work there, I think they just got a lot of attitude. A
lot of attitude.
All right. Speaking of attitude, Sedano and Cap are coming next. Super Crosstalk is brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long.
And stay tuned for stupidity.
Tons of it.
With Sedano and Cappy. We're back tomorrow at 1, 710 ESPN.
Hey, Mace, I think I got something here.
Hey, Mace.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do da 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 ba bing ba da ba
bop.
What is going on, Georgie Sedano?
Ba da beep
ba da bop
ba da boom
bing ba da boom.
I don't know what game is on ESPN tonight, but there's like this great visual of a
ESPN
tailgate. Uh-huh. Whatever college game is on tonight, I don't know what it is.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you.
Oh, it's West Virginia, Virginia Tech. That's actually a decent game.
That is a good game. For everybody that can't figure out how to use Amazon Prime, that's going to be a nice football game for you tonight.
I don't think tonight's football game is going to be very good, though. Sorry, Linz.
I agree with you. In fact, I'm dreading it because the Browns tend to embarrass themselves on national TV quite often.
When you say you don't think it's going to be very good, do you mean like that you
like
don't
it's
think
gonna
it's going to
be
a good result?
Fest.
Oh, yeah, because I definitely get the sense that most people are not really interested, whereas last week, Kansas City versus the Chargers – maybe just a football fan, not
yeah, they
from
did
LA.
Like almost 14 million people.
Right, right. All things included, you know, like the streaming on Amazon plus the local, you know, over-the-air TV stuff, you know, in Kansas City and in L.A. But, yeah, I get the strong sense that people think this game is lame tonight.
It is pretty lame. Like, the Steeler fans always show up, so they'll watch, I'm sure. But, like, I don't know. Like,
what do you think? This game's going to go to about 2% of the country, just Cleveland and Pittsburgh? That's it? Those are the only
people
watching?
No, there'll be people. I mean, look, there's fantasy, there's gambling, right? Fat Jack's going to join us. I mean, he's on a heater right now, 12-3 on college football. Which, by the way, I got to ask him, did I hear, like, people in the community, I love how they rat out, like, the other shows. our information is proprietary when we talk about, like, topics. I always think that part is really funny. We've been talking for 2 days about Oregon State, right? And Oregon State, like, all of a sudden, this number dropping from 13.5 to, like, it's now 5.5.
Come on, okay? You're kidding me.
Yeah, I swear to God. So, Darren Revelle, again, the most annoying person on the internet, arguably.
It's your boy. What are you talking about? It's your guy.
Wrote a story today about it. I guess that's where Mason in Ireland must have gotten it. But we've been talking about it for days. I want to ask Fat Jack, what's up with that game? Why is the SC number keep dropping?
like to know myself. I mean, what is it that Vegas knew when they started the line?
Yeah.
And what is it that the wise guys know now?
Yeah.
And for someone like myself who thinks USC is going to go to Corvallis and smoke those dudes, maybe I'm way off here.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they know something I don't know. Maybe they've actually watched Oregon State, whereas I have not.
I've only watched them play for like a half this season. They played on ESPN late at night. I think it was week one or two.
Playing against Boise State, one of those kinds of games?
It was the Boise State game. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the game, yeah. I watched. So it was the first one. So I watched like half of that and then fell asleep at halftime because I'm like, it's late, bro.
Yeah, I'm feeling
it. Probably had too much to drink, you know, like that's just the reality. Although I haven't had a drink in a while. I hadn't had a drink in a while, mostly because I just wanted to not have a drink. I like to go through like stretches for like a month or two where I don't drink.
Really?
And then I also got this cold, so I don't want to drink while I have a cold. So I've gone like a couple weeks without having alcohol, unless you count NyQuil, right? But
yeah, well, you gave me that cold. I appreciate that.
I did not.
Well, I'm not one of these people that likes to blame other people for giving somebody a cold. But you and I were together on Monday. We had a lovely lunch. We walked back and forth to the, you know, from LA Live around the corner. What was the name of that Mexican restaurant we had?
Cholo.
Cholo, right? And then you and I were in the studio for all those hours together. We were in the car for a little while together. Yeah. And somehow, some way, your germs invaded my body, and now I got a little bit of it.
Wait, we were literally in the car for like 30 seconds.
Well, that's all it takes, George.
I mean, we were like in the car because I had to move my car from the bottom floor of the garage to the top floor of the garage. That was the only reason.
I know. And
from the TV side to the radio side.
All I'm telling you is our close proximity. Now the two of us both have a little
something. You sound fine to me. I sound nasally and congested. You know what you have? Rachelitis. That's what you have.
Is that what I have? I don't know. My nose is all runny.
Yeah.
You know, I'm constantly like cleaning my nose because like stuff is coming out of it. You know?
You've got the itis, but it's Rachelitis.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
In the meantime, let me ask you a question. So you're telling me that an NFL football game is on tonight and it's a standalone NFL football game.
Yeah.
And it's not like some lame game like Jacksonville versus Indianapolis.
I know, but this year, the Steelers, as much as I love them and their history, it's not like you're going to sit there and go, ooh, I got to run to watch the Steelers this year.
I agree.
But fantasy and gambling will get people there.
Right, I understand. But all I'm saying is that, again, if this were Sunday afternoon and this were the early window and hypothetically there were eight games on and you were like, well, I'm curious about this one. I'm curious about this one. The rest of this, I don't really care. But this is a standalone, by itself, primetime NFL football game in week three with a lot of drama to the storyline of how the Steelers lose at home last week and can't really do much on offense, and Cleveland gives one away last week at home, and now they're playing Thursday night where there's no time to prepare. These guys haven't even practiced this week. So for me...
Practice?
Talk about practice. Practice.
Not a game. Practice.
Right. So I must admit, George, that I'm probably different than everybody else. I'm now emotionally invested as a Cleveland Browns fan.
Well, you are a Cleveland Browns fan because your buddy is the offensive coordinator, so I get it.
And once he leaves there, I'll no longer be a Cleveland Browns
fan. Right, you'll be wherever he's at.
Right, like I was a Green Bay Packers fan at one time. I was a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to support my peeps.
Yeah. We should have you take some ayahuasca.
Have had the opportunity. Have not yet done it.
Nah.
Got to travel somewhere to go do it. I don't know. It just seems like a whole headache.
Let's go to like Peru or something and do it.
Yeah, you got to go somewhere in Ciudad Americana.
Yeah. Anyhow, I got to ask you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think LeBron and Kevin Durant are the sixth and eighth best players in the NBA going into the season?
Been thinking about that a little bit, as a matter of fact.
Because I have thoughts, but I'd love to hear yours first as like the outsider.
Okay. Well, first, here's my first thought. Mm-hmm. I read the ESPN rankings.
Now, can I explain how those things are done real quick?
I wish you would, because it would help me understand. It would help me shape my opinion.
Okay, so it doesn't. Many years ago, we used to actually all have to concoct a list of 1 through 100.
Mm-hmm.
But no longer that has been the case due to technology over the last, I don't know, I want to say like 6 or 7 years. So basically, they created a computer software program that you can, you know, pull up as on a link on your phone or on your laptop or on your desktop or whatever. And basically what it does is it pits two players against each other. Okay. So, for example, it'll say Paul George, Anthony Davis. One box will say Paul George. The other box will say Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick which one you think is better.
Mm-hmm.
And then another box will pop up and it'll say Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler. and you pick which one you think is better. And then another one will pop up and say, Chris Paul, Bradley Beal. And then you pick which one is better. And so on and so forth. And what you're supposed to do is do that like a couple hundred times, because super fast. Like, you can do it very quickly. Like, you could do, like I did when I did it, because I wanted a large enough sample size so no one could yell at me. I did like 600 times. Now, I did it also, like, while you could do it, it's so easy. You could just do it while you're watching TV. I'm just like looking down, boom, I hit the button. And then I'm looking up, and then I'm looking down again. Boom, I hit the next player.
But let me just understand something. Is it, you know how, like, when you get to the NCAA tournament and you've got your brackets in front of you and you're playing one of these online bracket challenges, and it says, like, North Carolina against Davidson, and you just click North Carolina. Is it just like that, where you're just going click, 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 and then you all of a sudden, when you're done with the bracket, you get to the last two? And then
no, there,
like,
is no last. This goes to infinity.
Oh, okay.
Like, it just keeps cycling through players forever.
So then how do the results get done then? Ultimately?
Because based on how many times everybody does it. And they specifically tell you, you got to do this for as long as you can. Like, they tell you, like, keep going until exhaustion, basically. So I would imagine everybody, I mean, I don't know. I do it. Like I said, I did 600 different evaluations. So I'm hoping everybody does the same thing. I think we should just go back to listing 1 through 100, each of us, and sending it via email and let them do it that way. But I guess this way is easier for everyone, because it's just a computer system that tabulates all of it for you, because you're just picking between two players.
Are you saying that now, because of the way it's done, that perhaps it's not as accurate? In other words, if I went...
Because not enough of a sample, perhaps.
Right. So, how many people do you think at ESPN get
to
vote?
Oh, there's easily 100-plus people that get this.
Okay, so if I said to 100 people, all people who did exactly what you just said you did, if I said to all 100 of them, is LeBron James a top-5 player, how many of the 100 do you think would say, yes, of course he's a top-5 player? 60%, 70%, 80%? What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. Definitely over half, for sure.
Okay. If I said to those same 100 people, is Kevin Durant a top-5 player in the NBA? What percentage of those voters?
I would say more than LeBron, I would think.
Okay. So I'm wondering if the lack of science to the polling is why we get the results. And then when you ask the question, is LeBron James a top-5 player? And I read the headline today on ESPN, and I looked at 6 through 10, and I see LeBron and I see KD. I said, okay, well, who's 1 through 5? And that I haven't seen yet.
Well, I mean, we've kind of figured out. Lindsay, who did we think? We figured it out. It's a combination of Giannis, Luka, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, and Steph Curry, right?
Okay.
Those are the only five that are not on the list.
Yep.
Oh, you guys went and did the work on who's not.
Well,
on
I mean, it's not that hard to figure out. I mean, it's not like any of those guys are going to be anywhere besides the top 15 or 20. You know what I mean? So,
all right. So let me just get this. So if you have LeBron, if you have Joel Embiid, Giannis, Luka, who else did you guys? Nikola Jokic, and who
and
else?
Steph Curry.
And Steph. If those are the top 5 players in the NBA,
correct,
then can you live with LeBron and KD being in group 6 through 10? Given you cannot.
No, I would. Luka and Jokic for sure don't belong, and I can be convinced of all of the other ones except Giannis. Like, Giannis for sure is the best player right now.
And you don't think Steph is an automatic top 5?
I think Steph is an automatic top 5, but you can convince me that KD and LeBron may still be better, is my point. Like, I'm not saying you would for sure convince me, but I'd hear the argument.
You think that this is a massive insult to LeBron?
I think LeBron is going to use this as motivation, yes, if that's
what you're saying. Well, God, I hope so. I mean, whatever it takes. I mean, last year the motivation was, go ahead, think that we're old. We're going to show you guys that you're wrong. And
I'm going to text somebody.
Who are you texting?
Just somebody.
Just somebody? Okay, just some person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm going to text real quick. I'm going to say.
Let me hear what you're saying.
How do you think? Bron. Feels about where ESPN ranked him. ESPN.
God, I wish you would tell us who you're asking.
Him.
Is it Wendy? You talking to Wendy?
No, this is not like a reporter.
Morsels. Oh. Yeah, Morsels. Okay. Nuggets
is it,
cap.
Is it somebody in LeBron's agency?
I'm not telling you who. I'm just saying it's... Gosh, let's just say it's someone close
me.
To
you don't
him.
Tell me these things. Come on, tell me.
Okay, how do you think Bron feels about where ESPN ranked him going into the season? All right, I just text that. I sent that to somebody close to him.
Okay.
And we'll just see what the response is.
Is that Maverick?
No, I'm not telling you who it is. What part of I'm not telling you who it is did you not understand?
I understood it, but I'm just hoping that maybe you'll change your mind.
No, absolutely
not. Come on, please.
No, absolutely not. Well, see when they respond. They could take hours. I mean, you know. So, okay, but in the interim, I'm going to give you my thoughts on this. I'm going to give. I want to expand is basically the way I would describe it on this situation, because I do feel like there is some disrespect here for both those guys, not just LeBron personally. I think that we got this wrong is the way I would describe it.
Hey, in the meantime, George, last week, you, me, and Lindsay Baseball, Double H herself, we all went out for ice cream, right? Mm-hmm. This was 1 week ago today, and you got a cup of ice cream. I got an $8.50 milkshake. Thanks for buying, George. And Lindsay Baseball was working the cone, as I recall.
Yeah, she was working the cone. You had a milkshake for some reason.
Because we had like one of those days where it was like National Milkshake Day. And I was like, you know what? Milkshakes sound so fire. And if you remember, when they went to start scooping the ice cream, I turned my back. I didn't want to know how many scoops they used. Because I knew
think
it was
they used like five
more.
Or six.
I'm telling you, it was a ridiculous. Lot. Right. Yeah. Ridiculous amount. I was like, I don't know. I don't want to watch. This way, if I don't know how many scoops they use, I won't feel so bad. And as for Charlie's Angels, George, did you watch that as a little kid?
I did a little bit in syndication, not like, you know, not when it actually was on like network television.
Who was your favorite of Charlie's Angels?
Wasn't it, Farrah Fawcett, right? Was one of the Charlie's Angels, wasn't she not?
Right, she was. And I had a poster of Farrah Fawcett in my room. There was also Jacqueline Smith. And I think the other one, her name was Kate Smith, right? I think. Am I right on this? I'll have to check. But Kate Smith was the cute one where the other ones were like hot and sexy. And for whatever reason, I had this thing for the cute one. So, I know everybody else wanted, you know, Farrah Fawcett, and I was into Kate Smith. Very cute. Love Charlie's Angels. Is it on anywhere now? Can I watch it on, like, Nick at Night or something?
I don't think so. There's probably, maybe, like, I don't know.
It's got to be streaming somewhere.
I bet you it's streaming somewhere. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, it's probably not on, like, the Nick at Night or TV Land or one of those shows anymore. By the way, the response was, who made that question mark?
Who made what question mark?
That list.
Oh, who made the list? Okay, who made the top players in the NBA list?
No, like actually who created, like what, like how, like, you know, that was the question, that was the response I received. Like, who made that?
Oh, okay, wait a second, time out. I need to back up. I'm sure a couple other people may have gotten lost in translation. I know I did. So you sent a text to someone close to LeBron, right?
Yeah, and they just responded, who made that?
Because LeBron was not in the top five.
Yeah, I just was curious.
And this person is just hearing of this for the first time.
Yeah.
I would have thought this would have sent ripples throughout LeBron's camp. What?
So there you go. LeBron. No, LeBron definitely saw it, though. I mean, it's all over social media.
Well, how does this person not see it?
No. This person probably... Cappy, you're misunderstanding. When they say who made that, as in who created the list...
Mm-hmm.
Do you now understand?
Now I do. Did you tell them that you were a part of it?
I did. I explained to them via text what I just explained to you. Still no response.
So. No reply at all. Yeah. No reply at all.
And I don't blame them. I don't know. Like, it didn't seem like they're, I mean, I'm guessing they're not taking it all that seriously. But LeBron, at this stage of his life, likes to use a lot of things as motivation. I don't blame him. I use things as motivation all the time, including the community when they piss me off.
Yeah, did they piss you off today?
No, they didn't piss me off today. Although, I just kind of rolled my eyes, and they're like, oh, we're going to spend all day talking about Ime Udoka. Nah, not really.
We are?
No.
Yeah, I don't really feel like I need to spend all day talking about the Boston Celtics coach being suspended or the reports.
I mean,
that
we can mention
suspended.
It later, like whenever we want to talk about it for like a second, but you know, and just kind of give quick thoughts. But I don't have like I was not going to do 3 hours on that. Like that's just not it's not the brand we have here.
The brand of stupidity. This serious
Correct.
Story does not fit into the brand of stupidity.
Correct.
All right, different brand of stupidity, perhaps, but not this brand.
Yeah,
this is a different brand of stupidity.
Right, it's a different I'm brand of stupidity. So anyway, real quick. So I'm just to wrap up the LeBron list conversation and KD for that matter, too, because I feel like he's being disrespected here in a big way. Like, if you're telling me right now, I had a, the aliens came down, okay? Mm-hmm. And they were going to take over the world, okay? And we had to create, I had to pick players, and I had to, you know, assign rankings to players to be able to play on this team to save Earth, right? yes, it is the storyline of Space Jam. I understand that. But nonetheless, I'm not taking Luka and Jokic before I'm taking LeBron and KD, even at this stage of their careers. It's not happening.
I'm going to take LeBron, but I'm probably not going to take KD.
I mean, I can give you can if you can convince me Joel Embiid at this stage, you know, okay, because he plays on both ends. You can certainly convince me that of Giannis. You could convince me that the greatest shooter in the history of the sport and one of the greatest winners in the history of the sport deserves to be in the top five. No question about that. I have no issues with that. Could you convince me that KD or LeBron are individually better than any of those guys I just mentioned? We could have the discussion. But for sure about Luka and Jokic, as much as, and I love Luka Doncic particularly, okay? And I've defended Jokic as an MVP. Like, I have no problem with him being the MVP. But I individually, as talents, they are not better than LeBron and KD. No way, no how.
So I read, I kind of skimmed through the whole reasons why LeBron and KD dropped so far.
Yeah.
And this idea that they didn't make the playoffs. You know, or at least in LeBron's case, team didn't make the playoffs. And in KD's case, you know, team got swept out of the playoffs in the first round.
Yeah.
So I really didn't think that this was about their team. I thought this was simply who's the best player. And in terms of just individual talent, as much as like, see, to me, KD, I don't think he's a good team guy. Now, I said the same thing about Kyrie last year. But I just, the whole offseason for me with KD, I don't think he's a good team guy. I think he's about KD, and that's just it.
Yeah.
So for me, I could say I think KD's a spectacular individual talent, but I don't think he's a really good team guy, so I don't have him in my top five. I've got him coming off the bench. But LeBron, the one thing I'll say about LeBron, I know there's a lot of haters out there that talk about LeBron and they go, all he's doing is chasing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's already won his championships. He's just about scoring now. I still perceive LeBron to be about two things, A, winning, and B, his team.
Yeah.
I have that same perception of KD.
I think KD wants to win in a bad way, yes. I think that's why he wanted to leave Golden State, to prove that he could win somewhere else.
Right, and then he wanted to leave.
No, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want to win. Like, I disagree with that.
Well, I'm just giving you my perception.
Okay.
You know, so, but again, LeBron to me.
Go ahead.
LeBron to me is still, based, again, last year, he's 37, 38 years old. And if you were to go look up statistics from last year, and I mean, LeBron is still top, like, 2-3 guy in the league in all statistics. I mean, all things combined.
Yeah. I mean, he's not the defender he once was because, of course, he's 37 years old. But, I mean, that's just it. But, like, he's still incredible.
Dude, he averaged over 30 points last year. And Embiid led the league last year in scoring at 30.6. LeBron was second at 30.3. By the way, George, I'll have you know, this is all off the top of my head. I have this committed to memory. I'm not reading this at all. I'm not reading this at all.
Speaking of perception, I want to switch gears for a second because we're going to talk football with Fat Jack in a second. There's a perception that's now starting to kind of rear its head, its ugly head with the Rams. And it's about Matthew Stafford. So this guy, Blaine Grisak, had this stat. Coming into last season, before Matthew Stafford, Stafford had 11 100-yard rushers in 166 games played. Last season, the Rams just had two. Rams had Rams 100-yard rushers in 2017 and 18, 17. Now, Todd Gurley did a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Rams 100-yard rushers 2019 to 2021, only five. The team hasn't been the same without Gurley. They need some consistency there. And here's the thing. I think that guy is right. They need to strike a balance because Matthew Stafford's arm, despite its strength and accuracy and all that stuff, has put its defense in some binds, as we discussed yesterday and John Ireland asked Sean McVay about. So I am curious to see, now that they added Malcolm Brown, if they're going to start trying to run the ball a little more with this group, or are they going to continue to just load up on the arm of Matthew Stafford? Because if they're going to do that, That's, I don't know if that's the right recipe considering his ailments, his age, and the fact that that didn't work for the Detroit Lions for many years.
Everything you're saying, though, has very little to do with Stafford. It has everything to do with the two guys running the team, and that's Sean McVay and Les Snead. I think that sometimes when coaches, especially offensive-minded coaches, have a lot of success, they give up on the run because they're having so much fun slinging it all around the field
right.
and putting up all these big offensive statistics. Mm. And I just, you're right that in the early part of the Rams moving to LA and McVay's career, there was a lot of balance. It was Gurley running the ball. It was being very careful with Jared Goff. And it was all this misdirection sort of motion that was very confusing for a defense. And I feel like now, once McVay got a veteran quarterback, somebody that's a real, you know, somebody who has Hall of Fame caliber statistics, even though he had no wins to show for it, that's what McVay wanted. That's the offense he wanted. That's the roster that has been built for him.
All right, let's talk more about this as the show progresses. Fat Jack's going to join us. He's 12-3 on Saturdays right now. This dude is rolling. I want to know why the hell this Oregon State line with USC has dropped from 13.5 to 5.5. We'll talk to him next. Yeah.
Still do.
Still kind of do, actually.
A furry little alien. But I don't think a Happy Meal happened at Burger King, right? That's a McDonald's
thing. No, they had their
thing.
Own thing, though, whatever they called it. But what do they call it?
What do they call it?
I think it's a kid's meal.
Kid's meal?
Kid's meal. Yeah, exactly. I loved Alf as a kid growing up. I used to watch it on NBC all the time when I was a kid. Hey, Willie!
That's your Alf impression? It's pretty good.
It's very
good.
Limited. But it is what it is.
It's all you can do as Alf is, hey, Willie.
Hey, Willie. That's it. That's all I
got.
That's
all you got. That's it. All I got. Two words. Hey, Willie. It's my Alf impression.
He also liked cats. He always wanted to eat cats, I remember.
Did you say he wanted to eat cats?
Yeah, that was what he did down in the show. And it's kind of like I like to eat, winners in college football, like my man Fat Jack, 12-3. Which, you know, look, we've been talking about this USC-Oregon State thing for 2 days now. 3 days. This is day three that we've been talking about it. So Fat Jack, fatjacksports.com, the man's on a heater right now. 12-3 on Saturdays. If you're not getting his info, you're really doing it wrong at this point, clearly. And you can follow him on Twitter at Fat Jack Sports as well. So, Jack, for 3 days, this is what you've done to us here. I'm noticing things even I never used to notice before, and I felt I was like a competent gambler in the sense like I was more than just literate is the way I would describe it. So I figured this out that this Oregon State line, I guess, opened on Sunday at 13.5, and then boom, at Caesars Palace, or Caesars William Hill, whatever they call it, immediately drops to 7, okay? Then from there, it's been bet down all the way to 5.5 now. So there's like these tons of steam moves on Oregon State right now. I want to get to your picks and your thoughts on all this stuff, but I would love for you to kind of give us a quick tutorial here for us in the audience as to how something like this can happen.
Well, first, I will tell you, if and when we have a losing week, I'll be the first one to come on here and say it, but we are an absolute heater right now. Things are going great. We're 4-2 again on Sunday. So everybody's winning. Things are going great. We have plays going tonight, and they're all posted under the results tab on the website. To your point, what's going on right now is you have a bunch of sharp players that are not believing in what Lincoln Riley can do defensively because he wasn't able to do anything defensively at Oklahoma. And so as they start doing their math and figuring out what Oregon State is or isn't, you're getting big sums of money that are being bet on Oregon State plus the points because they think they have a fighter's chance against the team that gave up 441 yards against Stanford, and Stanford was horrible last year. So that's what's going on. I don't think anybody questions Lincoln Riley's offense. I mean, he's done it everywhere he's gone, including Oklahoma. And USC, their offense is formidable. But defensively, there's still some question marks. They're allowing teams to run the ball against them, and they would probably tell you, well, you know what, we're growing up defensively, and offensively is going to be fine. The other problem here is that Oregon State since 2019 is 16-6 against the spread as an underdog, and 10 of those games were wins. So they not only cover numbers, they beat people in spots exactly like this. So that's what's going on right now. No coach has been better at winning outright as an underdog in certainly the Pac-12 in the western part of the country than is Smith at Oregon State. So that's what's going on. They don't believe in their defense, and they're betting large chunks of money. Not all dollars are the same in Las Vegas. There are people that win money doing this, like myself and a number of other people. And when we bet or people bet, that line moves because they understand that's an indicator of more probably sharp money that's yet to come.
So Fat Jack, are we saying then that, because I hear what you're saying about not believing in the USC defense, but is anybody scouting out what the Oregon State offense is outside of what the numbers you just quoted about what they've done against the spread in the games that they've won? Because I haven't seen them play. I'm just looking at their resume. They beat Boise State and Fresno State, two teams from the Mountain West, big deal. And then they beat up on Montana State. So is it all about not believing in SC, or is there some belief in Oregon State?
And there's value also with Oregon State. They're 3-0 against the spread. They've outperformed the market all 3 weeks. And you can say that about a lot of teams at this point in the year. Who have they beaten? Who have they played? By the way, including USC. So, I mean, there's a number of teams that are in that boat. I mean, all the way into the top 10. Who's Oklahoma beat? I mean, who's Michigan beat? I mean, we just don't know a lot about these teams. So it's about finding value. You're not going to find any value betting on USC right now because offensively they are top, five in the country in points scored. They're getting it done on that side of the ball. But on the defense side of the ball, I think there's some question marks. So it's about finding value at this point, and there's some sharp players that have bought into that and are finding value with Oregon State. And the fact that they've outperformed the market in exactly this spot over the last few years doesn't hurt their cause either.
Fat Jack, FatJackSports.com. Again, the man is on a heater, 12-3 on Saturdays, 4-2 this past Sunday as well. And you can follow him on Twitter at FatJackSports. Thank you for that tutorial and that explanation, because we've spent, no joke, this is day three where we've kind of discussed this because we've been monitoring how the line keeps going down.
Yeah, and I keep saying, Jack, that it's like in horse racing, if you have a 12-1 and all of a sudden by race time it's 3-1, you know that big money has been bet and something's going on there. We have been sitting here trying to figure out how has this line moved so much.
There you go. And he explains.
Yeah, you got to dig a little bit deeper in sports because not all dollars are created equal. Parimutuel betting, I mean, some guy bets 50K, he may just, have 50 million to bet. And so you don't know exactly why that line's moving when it's in sports. But your point's exactly right. You get a lot of points on a horse and you got bigger money that's betting it down. But in sports, it's even less of a transparent thing because not all dollars are created equal. You'll have a number of games. The NFL has been littered with have over 60% of the tickets and 60% of the money on them, and those teams are 2-12 against the spread so far to start the year. The Joes are getting hammered by betting teams like Cincinnati at Dallas, Kansas City against just about anybody, teams that typically you just play the better team. Now, I'm not here telling you I would have put you on Dallas with a backup quarterback against Cincinnati, but I am smart enough to know there was no value play in Cincinnati. And a lot of times making money is who you're not betting as much as it is who you are betting. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, go ahead. No, finish up your thought because I was just going to move on, but go ahead.
Yeah, I just think it's important to recognize that just because a lot of money is going on a certain team doesn't mean that it's the right type of money, and you got to always be digging a little bit deeper to figure out who's doing what. And that's something that for 27 years, it comes a little more natural now than it did 27 years ago. I didn't know anything about that when I started. So the contacts I've made really, really come in helpful for my clients and I.
So, Jack, tell me what you're hottest on. I don't know if you want to start NFL or college, but either way, feel free. Tell us what you're looking at this week.
Yeah, I'm looking at a couple nobody wants to bet on. I mean, that's the thing. I like Houston plus the points against Chicago. I think we're finding out that Justin Fields is he's not an offensive juggernaut by any stretch. 9 of his 12 starts as a Chicago starter have been under the total, not scoring a lot of points. They played basically 4 feet of water in week one and got it done. Houston's like that, the president of the chess club that shows up at the dance back in, 16 Candles, those movies, and everybody's decided she's all of a sudden pretty because she knows who she is. Houston got rid of their issues at quarterback. I think, they're not going to win anything significant, but they are going to outperform the market, especially over the next month or so, more times than not, in spots exactly like this where they're playing teams that don't score. So I would start there in a game that literally bet it and then throw your TV in the ocean because you don't want to watch Houston-Chicago by any stretch. But that's one thing. The other kind of general rule in week three, 0-2 teams that didn't cover or win in weeks 1 and 2, they are really covered a high clip, 55-40-1 against the spread. That's almost 60%. And teams that don't cover or win over those first 2 weeks, 62% of the time they cover in this week three. Carolina and Cincinnati are both in that little subset of that group. So be okay. It's like the stock market. You're not going to buy high and sell low. You've got to be okay trying to get out in front of some of these trends. If you're playing public opinion plays, you're getting hammered right now, and that's not how to make money.
Jack, I want to ask you about one game that I know seems weird. It's another one of these games you could throw your TV in the ocean. Kansas City and Indianapolis. If Indianapolis got hammered 24-0 by Jacksonville, shouldn't I think that Kansas City is going to beat them like 48-0? And yet something tells me that maybe that's kind of a weird kind of a place. What do you think about that game?
Yeah, since Cincinnati turns the ball over 100 times in week one, they go to Dallas and play a backup quarterback. How in the world does Dallas stay in that game? These type of spots are coming up every week. You're not getting any value playing the favorite because Vegas knows what they're doing. Everybody's going to regress. You're going to get back to closer to the middle. Kansas City started really, really hot. Expect them to back up a little offensively. Indy has looked horrible and had some injuries. So expect them to play better. This has a chance to be the most lopsided bet game of the entire year so far as the numbers are coming in. Yet the numbers working back toward Indy. It's the same, like I said, 60% of tickets and bets on one team, those teams are 2-12. Believe that recency bias and not the recency bias that we think we can look back and say, hey, this happened last week, so this has to happen this week. That is the wrong recency bias to take. Road dogs are 9-5 against the spread this year. So if you're paying home favorites, not a good idea. And certainly teams that have the vast majority of money and tickets on them, they are 2-12 against the spread so far this year. So be very, very careful. That's the one that's going to hammer people this week if, in fact, that the public doesn't win, because everybody's going to line up and play Kansas City for the reasons you just mentioned.
Jack, before we let you go, where do the people get your information?
Everything is posted and documented. I'm not one of those guys that gives out 50 different sets of picks to different people. You get the same exact plays I'm betting in Vegas right now, text to your cell phone, email to you, and then those exact games are posted and documented on the website. You'll see we had under the total in the Philadelphia game on Monday. You give me about 2.5 hours, and I'm going to post who we have tonight there. So you're able to see when you sign up and you get those picks text and email to you, you're getting the best plays that are also documented and posted for everybody to see. Go to FatJackSports.com. It's less than $100 a week when you go through even Halloween, $5.99 through Halloween. Hoops are coming. We're very good in hoops. And as you said, 13-3 on Saturdays, 4-2 again Sunday. Things are going really, really well right now. We're going to do it again this week. Go to FatJackSports.com. Sign up today and win this weekend.
Jack, thanks for being our gambling guru, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Go get him this week. Have a great time. I'll see you next week.
You too. Take care. There he is, FatJackSports.com, at FatJackSports on Twitter. All right, coming up next, what you need to know. And, oh, we've been talking about LeBron and KD and the disrespect. But are they disrespecting AD in this NBA rank? We'll get to that next.